Welcome to the MPC Podcast. I am Tim W. Gill, pastor of Medora Pentecostal Church, and I'm thrilled that you've joined us today. Here at MPC, we are committed to bringing hope and building lives. One way we do that is through this podcast. Thank you for listening, for sharing and reviewing what we do here. It is our desire to connect with you, and you can find us on Facebook, or you can find us at our website, medorachurch.com. It is our prayer that today's message inspires you, encourages you, and that the kingdom of God is advanced in your life. Let's get right to the word of the Lord today.
Hey, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise be to God. Amen. Let's get our Bibles. We're going to the book of Hebrews today. We welcome again everybody that is here in the house of the Lord. Our guests that are here, thank you for being here. Church family, amen. I love my church family. How about you? I love this church. And that it means the people, because that's what makes the church the people. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 9. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you. Things that accompany salvation. Woohoo! Though we thus speak, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work, labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. You serve and do serve. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Somebody say, hope to the end. That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through patience, through faith and patience, inherit the promise. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly, to show unto the heirs of promise, that's you and me, the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we may have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner for us is entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Oh, can you praise the Lord for the word this morning? Hallelujah! What a blessed passage, oh God. What a blessed passage that you have provided for us today. Jesus, we love you, and we thank you, God, today for a better hope. A better hope. We give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. Let everybody say, a better hope. A better hope. You can be seated in the house of the Lord. In case you haven't heard, there's a whole lot of chatter about the signs in the heavens that is potentially happening here in the next few days. There's much discussion about the eclipse, red cows, and ominous pending peril in our present time. Make no mistake, I believe that we are living in the last days. I see the spirit of Antichrist as it is becoming more and more prominent and prevalent in our world today. I see as many who once had truth is now embracing apostasy. We are told two things that would be a sign. There's several signs of the last days, but two things related to spirituality is that there would be a great falling away of apostasy, falling away. But also in the last days, he said, I'll pour out my spirit. Hallelujah. I want to be a part of the pouring out of the Spirit. How about you? I want to be a part of that. But we are living in troubled times, and we could spend an unprecedented amount of time peeling back the layers of eschatology and the layers of Bible prophecy, and that's good in its situation and setting. We can dive into all of the wonderful and particularly great things that could be happening that people are predicting. We can dive into the culture that is corrupt, and we can talk about how bad our world is, and it is bad. The fact is, it doesn't take much observation to realize we're living in the last days and things are hopeless in the world around us. So how are we going to approach these subjects? How are we going to approach the signs? And in case you haven't heard, amen, there's quite a bit of chatter on social media about the signs in the heaven. And I feel like as your pastor, I need to address a little bit of it. What are we to think about the distress of this culture and the signs in the heaven? How should we face the fear that is before us, that is gnawing in our stomach and making us, if you have children and grandchildren, it's disconcerting, to say the least. Well, let me tell you what Jesus said. He said in Luke chapter 21 and verse 25, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth distress of nations. That word nation there speaks of cultures and nationalities, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with great power, or with power and great glory. And when these things began to come to pass, here's how that he said we are to do, and that is then look up. Can you just do that right now? Look up. Lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. That's what Jesus said. When you see the signs of the heavens, you see the signs in the earth, and you see the distress of nations, and you see the problem that is ever before us, amen, don't get bogged down in that. I believe that is fine to study, but that should not be our focus. Our focus should be in Him who is the anchor of our soul, the hope that is the anchor of our soul. The Apostle Paul said it like this in 1 Corinthians 15 and 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, it means if while I'm living here, if I have hope here, which is great, aren't you glad for hope here? But I'd still be of all men most miserable. Amen. While we are wringing our hands with dread and fear, while the world is wringing their hands with dread and fear, the people of God have hope. Amen. It's not just any hope. It's not just a passing hope. It is not a fleeting hope. It is not an emotional hope. It is not an emotional high, but it is an anchor. It is steadfast. It is sure. It is unmovable. I call your attention this morning to a better hope. I call your attention today to not, it's fine if you want to study the signs, but you better study Jesus even greater. You better look to Jesus even more, because He is my hope. He is my anchor. Yes, sir. Steadfast and sure. 1 Thessalonians 4, chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Hallelujah. They bury their loved ones and they have no hope. How miserable that must be. They go without a hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. Amen. That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. They're coming up. They're raising up, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. Hallelujah. I don't have time to be buried in the dread. I don't have time to allow this political season to be my demise and me wringing my hands and biting my fingernails. I have hope beyond a political party. I have hope beyond a present government. I have hope, amen, in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Is Jesus still Lord? Is Jesus still King? No matter if the eclipse comes, he's still King. No matter what happens in your world, among your life, he's still Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. I've got a hope. It's a better hope. It's a sure hope. It's a strong hope. Comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. Praise God. Can I just tell you, be careful. Some of these Dr. Sounding Brasses and Professor Tinkling Cymbal that is so wrapped up in these signs, be careful. And when you hear them having to stretch to make their point come to pass about that, just look at it for what it is. It's a stretch. It's a sensation. I do believe in sensationalism, and that is Jesus is Lord, and that is sensational. Jesus is coming back, and that is sensational. The dead in Christ are going to rise someday. That's pretty sensational to me. That's what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for the beast. I'm not looking for the mark of the beast. Amen. Study it. That's wonderful. Jesus said we'd be blessed if we did. But I believe that my hope has got to be built not in the dread of a mark, not in the dread of some future problem or issue, but in Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We have a better hope.
My Jesus.
Yes, fear abounds. Yes, things look bleak. Yes, the clouds of darkness loom heavy around us. Yes, 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 yes. But we have hope.
Amen.
We're not without hope. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I do not know what tomorrow holds. But I know the anchor that is holding me in my tomorrow.
All right.
Hallelujah. I don't know what my family may face. I do not know what my kids are going to face. I do not know what my grandkids are going to face. But the same anchor that held me and held my family, hold me and my wife, is going to hold my son and my daughter-in-law and my daughter and my son-in-law and all their kids. Somebody say, that means me too. It's going to hold you. You got to hold on to that. I had one of our pastor's wives that called me. And she said, Brother Gill, I have a lot of people around me that's getting into all this prophecy and signs and things like that. And I reminded her of something that, and she was old enough to remember this. Some of you may not be old enough to remember this, but many of you will. But back in the 80s, there was a popular thing going around where people would take records and run them backwards, called backward masking. You remember that? If you don't, let me explain it to you. For all you young folks, what backward masking is that there was a thing called records, LPs. They're popular now. They're getting more popular. It's like, you know, retro, it's coming back. But they are on turntable, and they had needles that would capture that sound waves and then translate it into your speakers, and you could hear it. It's a beautiful, beautiful device. But they would take them and they would take some way and turn it backwards. And one in particular that I remember was there was a rock band called Black Sabbath. Black Sabbath. They were very heavy, and you look at their album covers. They were very heavy in satanic symbols, very heavy in all kinds of the occult. and their name was Black Sabbath. And they say that you could run that backwards, and there was one I remembered, and supposedly it would say backwards, Satan, he is God. Satan, he is God. And everybody just getting amazed at that. And I said, look at the album cover. Look at the name of the band. I don't have to have great deduction or get all deep into that to know that is a band that is really about Satan. So should I be surprised if I'm backward masking it? You see, there are some things, brothers and sisters, you can just look at it for what it is and face value. This is last days. This is end time. The world is wicked in gross darkness. It said in the last days it would be like Noah. In the last days it would be like Sodom and Gomorrah. Whoop, here we are. Oh, that's why we've got to have an anchor in a hope that will keep us in the face of mess. I love the old song that says, in times like these, we need a Savior. In times like these, we need an anchor. Be sure, be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. Who is that rock? That rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. That rock is Jesus. He's the only one. Be sure, be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. I want to tell you, the word is very clear. God cannot lie. God will not lie. His ways are cannot be changed. Amen. When it comes to the matter of his promise, when it comes to the matter of your deliverance, when it comes to the matter that he'll be with you in the storm, he'll be with you over the mountain, is that he is unchangeable. His word is immutable. His hope is unalterable. Help is inevitable. My help is on my way. My hope is on the way. Oh, praise God today. I've come to encourage somebody. You've got a better hope. You've got a hope. Quit getting distressed. Quit getting wigged out. Quit getting worried and biting your nails. I've got an anchor. I've got a hope. My God said he'd never leave me or forsake me. My God said he's with me all the way, even to the end. Hope to the end. I have hope because God cannot lie. God cannot lie. Amen. He said that we needed to have diligence to the full assurance of hope to the end. You got to be in this for the end. Stay with it to the end. Amen. Wherein God willingly, more abundantly willing, he's to show unto us the heirs of promise, that it's impossible for God to lie, which we have a strong consolation, and we flee. We have fled. Run to the refuge. Turn off your news. Turn off the junk. Amen. If it's causing you confusion and angst, if it's causing you worry and dread, go back to your anchor. Amen. Go back to what you know. Amen. Go back to the one that you know. Go back to the word that you know. And say, I got a feeling everything's going to be all right. I said, I got a feeling. Yes. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to say that to yourself. Yes. I got a feeling everything's going to be all right. I believe I'm going to make it through. He may not have promised me T-bone steak, but he promised he'd supply my needs. Amen. He may not promise that I'd drive a Rolls Royce, but he promised that he'd take care of me. Hallelujah. Have food and raiment therewith to be content. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name, on Christ. The solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. I've got a better hope. I've got something the devil can't give me and the devil can't take away. I've got a hope, amen, that comes from above, and it's anchored in the one who loved me, cared for me, gave his life for me. I have hope. 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 It said that hope is the anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. It's true, confirmed, sure, firm, certain. I have hope. It is steadfast, amen, which it means it's guaranteed, trustworthy, dependable, reliable, firm, verified. I have hope. And then that anchor is secured, the Bible said, within the veil. The entering into that within the veil. The entrance, the anchor of hope is somewhere beyond what I cannot see. It's beyond what the problem is. Woo-hoo. It's holding on to more than what I see physically. I've got to realize when I pull on it, it's not moving. It's not moving. Oh, praise be to God. It's an anchor within the veil. That is an allusion or a reference, rather, to the work, the finished work of Christ. That happened on Calvary. Because he finished the work, because he rose again, my anchor is set into that world that is invisible, that I cannot see. It is a place, amen, that you can call it heaven. You can call it the presence of the Lord, but it is there. I'm holding on to that place beyond this veil that I know that somewhere it's holding on. Can I just tell you, there's two points that have got to be secure for an anchor to work. It's got to be secure on one end and on the other end. I know, Brother Chris, it's secure over here, but oh, I've got to hold on to it. I've got to have it attached to me. I've got to put it connected to me. Oh, praise be to God. You want some word? Let me give you some word. Jesus said, John 14, 1, let not your heart be troubled. That's enough right there. But he said, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions or many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way, you know. If he is there, he is with me now in spirit. But one of these days, I'm going to see him as he is. That is heaven to me. That is where he is heaven. Oh, glory be to God. I want to tell you, this world is not heaven. And to those that believe that this is heaven, it stinks. If this is heaven, this stinks. If this is heaven, then they can have my diabetes that I'm getting rid of. High blood pressure and all the other aches and pains and the isms and sisms. But I'm telling you, this is not heaven. But there's an anchor on this side. That's found in heaven. My anchor is in the invisible realm of where the Lord is. For wherever he is, that's where I want to be, and that's where my anchor is. Hallelujah. There are those today that preach a gospel of preterism that believe that this is heaven. That this is heaven. Whew, heaven help us. Amen. I realize we could say the sky is heaven. I realize that we can say that space and the atmosphere of the universe is heaven. But the Bible teaches us, amen, that our Father is in heaven. Hallowed be his name. We find that Psalmist said in 11 and 4, chapter 11, verse 4, the Lord is in his holy temple, and the Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold and his eyelids try the children of men. Psalm 103 and 19, the Lord prepared his throne in where? in the heavens, and the king and his kingdom ruleth over all. Isaiah said that he saw the throne in heaven. Amen. The Bible doesn't give us a lot of information about heaven, but we do know that we are going to be changed to go there. We know that our bodies are going to be changed according to 1 Corinthians 15. Amen. Our mortal is going to put on immortality. Our corruption is going to put on incorruption. Amen. That some way we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. I realize that in heaven there will be no pain, there will be no tears, there will be no sorrow, there will be no need for the sun, for the Lamb will be the light of that city. I believe, amen, it will be a place of worship and praise where we will rule and reign forever and ever. It is a city without a cemetery. It is a city without a hospital. It is a city without counseling. It is a city without psychiatry. It is a city without doctors. It is a city without financial experts. It is a city, amen, where I want to be plugged into. My hope is not in this world. I can live in this world and I can deal with this world because my hope is in him. The city with no pain, the city with no sorrow, the city with no sickness, no death. That's where my hope is. My hope is. Jesus said in Matthew 6:19, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, or where thieves break through and steal. Don't put your anchor. You got to live here, but your anchor shouldn't be here. He said, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. 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 So why do you have peace? Well, my anchor is not in this world. Amen. It's in heaven. Woo. Praise be to God. Somebody just going to have to take off running for me just in a little bit. You're just going to have to. Because it's about to bust up here. Verse 21, it says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I've gotten blessed here. God blesses me here. But this world is not my home. I'm passing through. While I'm passing through, I thank God for his provisions. I thank God for his abundant blessings. But my hope is not in product and merchandise, and it is not in possession. My hope is not in bank accounts. My hope is in Jesus Christ. Woo! Hallelujah. That's where my hope is. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thy eye be single, thy whole body shall be a full light. If your anchor is in heaven, your light, your body's going to be full of light. But if your eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? If hopelessness is your answer, if hopelessness is your conversation, if hopelessness and darkness is where you are, then how great is that darkness? Oh, but my hope is beyond. Hallelujah, beyond the veil.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Paul said it like this in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. For our conversations, our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned unto his glorious body, according to working whereby he is able even to subdue all things. My citizenship, your citizenship, is in heaven, where our Savior is. Hallelujah. The fact of the matter is that on this earth, we are aliens. Not that kind. We are strangers. We are strangers. But we are ambassadors from the kingdom of heaven, from the homeland. Our homeland. Folks, the world is Babylon. And the mentality of this world is Babylon. This world is not my home.
Amen.
But while I'm here, I've got to give a reason of the hope. While I'm here, I've got to reach somebody and tell them there's hope. While I'm here, I've got to tell somebody that Jesus is the way. Huh. My future is indestructible because I have hope that is better. The writer of Hebrews says that they, speaking of the heroes of faith, desired a better country, that is, a heavenly, whereof God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. I have hope. Amen. I have hope. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 1, 3, blessed be God and Father of our Lord. Is this okay with y'all?
Yes, sir.
Y'all all right with word? Amen. Y'all right with word this morning? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, and it's reserved for you in heaven. In heaven it's reserved for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein we greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Woo! Haven't seen him, but I love him. In whom though you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I can't see that which is anchored beyond the veil, but I love him. I can't see him beyond the veil, but I believe him. I know he's there. Hope. Today, are you fed up with what's happening in the world? Time to tug on your anchor. Where is it? Tug on it. There's a hope that's a better hope. And this is what he said, that by it we may have a strong consolation. Somebody say strong encouragement. A strong comfort. A strong solace. Can I just give you a recommendation? Don't hang around hopeless people that their spirits wrapped up in dread and woe. Anybody remember 88 reasons why the Lord's coming in 88? Anybody remember that? Well, for all you young folk that's beyond remembering or wasn't here, in 1988, there was a man. His last name was Wiesenault. I don't remember his first name, but it's easy to remember a name like Wiesenault. But he put out a book that threw many people into a tailspin, even those in the apostolic Pentecostal ranks, that said there's 88 reasons why the Lord was coming. And if I remember, it was October that the Lord was coming. It's either October or September that he was coming. The 88 reasons, and he had listed, and it was, oh, so, wow, whoa, woo, whoa. But what was always amazing, and I got a copy of the book, and you turned it over on the back, and it showed his itinerary after the date that the Lord is supposed to come back. My hope is not in 88 reasons, because that's a few years ago. 88 reasons. We're still here. Amen. There are some that are saying the Lord's coming this year. Oh, praise God. You know what? Even so, Lord Jesus, come. But my attention and my focus is not on that. My attention is in the anchor. If that's true, I don't have to worry. I don't have to dread. I have to look up, for my redemption draweth nigh. Amen. Where's your hope today? Is your hope in this world? Then it's going to be flimsy. But if your hope is beyond this world in Jesus Christ, it's a strong consolation. It's a strong encouragement. It's a strong help. Here today.
Thank you, Jesus.
Psalm 42 and 5. As you're standing. Psalm 42 and 5. The psalmist, I believe, addresses the spirit of this age.
You
know, the psalmist said, bless the Lord, O my soul. So he talked to himself. Anybody here talk to yourself? I talk to myself all the time. I even answer myself. But here's what the psalmist says. Why are you cast down? Why are you sinking into despair, oh my soul? Why is just, have you ever just felt gloomy and blue? And you stopped and you thought, why am I? Why do I feel that way? Only to realize it was for no good reason. And yet you just go ahead and embrace that gloom. Why am I cast down? Why am I in despair, oh my soul? And why are you disquieted? Why are you anxious? Why are you troubled? Why are you grieved within me? If we looked at our world today, we could say our soul was cast down. If we look at our world today, we could say our soul is anxious. It's grieved. It's in despair. But he doesn't stop there. Hope thou in God. Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Heavenly hope is more than just a feeling, brothers and sisters. It's a fact. Jesus is still Lord. He is still King, and your soul can be anchored to him. Amen. Hope doesn't depend on circumstance. Hope is not depending on your storm. Hope is not depending upon what is happening around you. That anchor that holds that massive ship is because that anchor is set to something more solid than the storm. It is set to something more sure than the storm. I am anchored to something greater and bigger than what is happening in this world. His name is Jesus. Is anybody gonna thank the Lord with me today for a better hope? I wish that somebody would step out and just start worshiping, walking in the aisle, walking around here, amen, and give God praise. I got a feeling, amen, he's got it all under control. I know, my God. Come on, let your hope hold you today. A better hope. Hallelujah. Praise be to God.
Thank you for listening to the MPC podcast. We trust that today's message has inspired you, encouraged you, and strengthened you in the Lord. We would like to invite you to join us again by simply subscribing to our podcast, and we encourage you to write a review if it has been a blessing to you. Again, you can find us at medorachurch.com to learn more about our ministry.